This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents The Success Principles, How to Get From Where You Are to Where You Want to Be, by Jack Canfield with Janet Switzer, performed by Danny Campbell. This book is dedicated to Patty Aubrey, my business partner, president of my companies, and for 25 years, my sounding board, confidant, and closest friend. From those early days typing the first Chicken Soup for the Soul stories to building a hugely successful company that has expanded my impact worldwide, Patty has helped guide my career, advanced these teachings, and held a vision of my work that is bigger and bolder than anything I could have dreamed myself. Words cannot express my gratitude for your endless energy, selfless focus, and lifelong dedication to this work. You are a treasure. Life is like a combination lock. Your job is to find the right numbers in the right order so you can have anything you want. Brian Tracy. If we did all the things we are capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves. Thomas A. Edison. Forward. A decade ago, Janet Switzer and I envisioned a time when the success principles would be read in dozens of languages and followed in more than 100 countries, a time when individuals from every walk of life and groups of every kind would use it as a guidebook for dreaming bigger dreams, planning bigger outcomes, taking action in a bigger way, and enjoying the kind of expanded, abundant lifestyle that for them never seemed possible before. We envisioned a time when educators, corporate managers, and small group leaders would take up our challenge to advance the message of the success principles by training others in these human potential basics. Time when we could look back with pride at the millions of lives that had been touched by the universal message and proven principles in this book. I'm happy to say that time is now. Over the past 10 years, not only has the success principle spread to 108 countries in 30 languages, but the feedback and success stories we've received in return have been gratifying and humbling. Men, women, teens, students, athletes, entrepreneurs, stay-at-home parents, rising corporate stars, and other achievers have become dedicated to creating lives of abundance, joy, professional fulfillment, and personal accomplishment. They are proof positive that these principles work, if you work the principles. Through countless stories and heartwarming reports, I've watched this phenomenon unfold, as readers moved beyond today's culture of resignation and mediocrity to create the exciting, compelling life of their dreams. They have overcome their own limitations, whether physical challenges, economic hardship, past failures, or simply their own limiting beliefs, to achieve astounding success. At one time, perhaps just like you, they wondered how a single book could change their lives. Doug Whittle, a builder from Kamloops, British Columbia, Canada, doubled his income within a year of applying what he learned, then doubled it again 12 months later. He began enjoying substantially more free time and built 4 magnificent homes so he and his family could spend summers and winters in temperate climates. Days before talking to Doug, we heard from Miriam Laundry, a mom who dreamed of bringing self-esteem concepts to more than 100,000 children, changing lives and communities around the globe. Not only did she surpass her goal in less than a year, she attained a Guinness World Records title for her accomplishment. Sean Gallagher, a successful Irish entrepreneur, appeared for 3 seasons on the hit television show Dragon's Den, Shark Tank in the U.S., and later fulfilled his most audacious goal when he stood for election to become the President of Ireland. He's now a highly sought-after speaker and writer, helping to inform and inspire the next generation of Irish business leaders. Justin Bendel, an aspiring orchestral musician, used the success principles to visualize playing at a world-class concert hall whose picture he'd had for years. Though he didn't know the name of the concert hall in the photo, he pasted it to his vision board anyway. Soon after, he received a fully paid scholarship to pursue graduate studies in music, and within his first year of grad school, was chosen to play with the university orchestra at Carnegie Hall in New York, the concert hall in the photograph he had pasted on his vision board. Using Principle 24, exceed expectations. 25-year-old Canadian franchisee Natalie Peace built one of her juice bar locations to record revenues, then sold it for the highest amount ever received for that franchise. She since earned her MBA, and now, among other things, teaches business administration classes to fourth-year university students, recommending the Success Principles as a powerful textbook for future entrepreneurs. After one of my readers, a successful Malaysian businessman, was incarcerated under extremely harsh conditions in China, his wife convinced the guards to pass along his tattered, dog-eared, and marked-up copy of the Success Principles so he could stay motivated during his 20-month ordeal. He not only reread it hundreds of times, but also used it to transform himself into an even more motivated, excited, and fearless person who, since his release, has launched a successful information technology business, started 2 restaurants, and acquired a portfolio of international properties with a group of real estate investors. Pavel Popiolik, Czech Republic's leading importer of computer equipment with a $600 million business to manage, used what he learned in the Success Principles to balance his life and work, making time for his true passion, competitive cycling. So far, he's won the Val d'Aran UCI World Cycling Tour race in the Pyrenees, qualified for the World Masters Cycling Championship, and been profiled in Men's Health magazine. Of course, beyond business success and professional accomplishment are those readers whose entire lives have changed because they implemented the principles in this book. Heather O'Brien Walker, who sustained a devastating brain injury in a warehouse accident at work, first heard the Success Principles from her hospital bed, as her fiancé read them aloud during Heather's 30 days of rehabilitation. Though she couldn't walk or talk or even function normally, she began to visualize her wedding day and made walking down the aisle her breakthrough goal. The process of learning to walk again was grueling. But today, Heather has not only recovered, but she also shares her message of overcoming adversity through speaking engagements and her book, Don't Give Up, Get Up. Akshay Nanavati, an ex-Marine who was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder upon his return from Iraq, is using the principles to beat the condition. His dream? To run across every country in the world, border to border, over the next 25 years, not only as a way to inspire others, but also to give himself the inspiration to get up and take action every day. And Lewis Pugh of Great Britain is the only person to have completed a long-distance swim in every ocean of the world. Over a period of 27 years, he has pioneered swims in the most hostile waters on Earth, including the Antarctic, the North Pole, and the Himalayas, and developed an understanding of the beauty and fragility of life and its many ecosystems. Millions have viewed his talks at TED Global, and he campaigns tirelessly for the creation of marine protected areas and changes to the legal framework governing oceans. In 2013, the United Nations appointed the maritime lawyer as patron of the oceans. And yes, he's a Success Principles reader too. With stories like these, and thousands more that have poured in, when it came time to prepare the 10th anniversary edition of the Success Principles, I quickly realized that I could produce an entire companion book filled with just the inspiring and fascinating stories we've received from readers over the last decade. Countless others have used what they learned to become best-selling authors, start businesses, purchase investment properties, get married, lose weight, achieve professional honors, get job promotions, travel the world, get out of debt, raise amazing kids, and so much more. But while many of these readers knew exactly what they wanted to achieve when they picked up their copy of the Success Principles, many more didn't. For some readers, achievement seemed so far away that their only want was for life to simply get better. Forrest Willett was one of those readers. At 31 years old, Forrest's life was right on track. He owned 3 homes and 7 businesses. He'd been married for 7 years to a beautiful woman and had a 2-year-old son. He was on top of the world. That is, until his world turned upside down. Literally. He was in an automobile accident that threw his car end over end 3 times, leaving him with a catastrophic brain injury. Suddenly, Forrest found himself incapable of doing even the slightest tasks, with his beautiful wife now teaching him to brush his teeth and comb his hair. Although he knew he was lucky to be alive, he began to spiral faster and faster into a deep pit of depression, anger, and despair. In the beginning, like a stroke survivor, he had difficulty conversing on even the most basic level. His humiliation rendered him housebound, and soon fatigue and apathy dominated his existence. For hours, Forrest lay on the sofa, sleeping or watching television. The doctors, his speech therapist, his occupational therapist, his physical therapist, essentially all of the experts, told him that returning to a productive life with the promise of success wasn't possible. So Forrest gave up all hope of ever having a normal existence, let alone a life that fulfilled his dreams. Then one day, as he lay in bed, numbly surfing the TV channels, the words, "If you want to get from where you are to where you want to be," caught his attention. Forrest sat up enough to focus on what the news anchor was saying. Jack Canfield was coming up next to discuss his book, The Success Principles. With the smallest spark of hope ignited, Forrest bought the book that they were talking about, the first edition of The Success Principles, which was over 400 pages. At the time, Forrest was just learning to read his son's books, a 35-year-old man reading books for a kindergartner. His speech therapist thought a 400-page book was being overly ambitious. But Forrest was more than ready to get from where he was to where he wanted to be. And so, he began his journey. In the beginning, reading even a single page was slow and laborious. Though he was motivated, Forrest began to wonder if his therapist had been right. Maybe he was being overly ambitious. Then, several months after starting to work his way through The Success Principles, and a full 5 years after the accident, he got his biggest wake-up call. At his son Hunter's 7th birthday party, Forrest was out in the yard with a boy and a group of his friends as Hunter opened his presents. Picking a round-shaped package from the pile, Hunter ripped the wrapping paper off to reveal a baseball. Smiling with delight, he immediately threw it at the ground. Naturally, the ball landed with a thud and rolled a couple of feet into the dirt. Hunter picked it up and hurled it at the ground again, where it once more rolled away from him. Before he could try again, the friend who had given him the baseball shouted, "Hunter, baseballs don't bounce!" In that moment, Forrest was thunderstruck as the impact of his absence hit him like a ton of bricks. How could his son know about such things? They had never thrown a baseball together. Forrest realized he had spent more time with his negative thoughts than with his own son, essentially abandoning him, as well as his wife. He knew that if he didn't take charge of his life, it would end up in pieces. He'd find himself divorced, homeless, or worse. The spark inside him turned into a blaze. He went back to the first of the success principles, take 100% responsibility for your life, and tackled it in earnest. In his case, taking 100% responsibility for his life meant he had to stop the negative self-talk. No more "poor Forrest" and "why did this happen to me?" Without that constant negative soundtrack to distract him, Forrest could see that he hadn't been an active participant in his own rehabilitation. He had been letting his physical therapist stretch him, then wondered why he wasn't getting stronger. He'd sat there passively listening while his speech therapist read to him, then complained that his reading skills weren't getting any better. Now Forrest started to believe that his life could be different, that he could make it different. And that's when things really started to change. Almost immediately, his self-awareness began to grow. Things that had gone over his head for so long finally registered. Where were all his friends? The answer was as painful as it was clear. He'd abandoned them, in the same way he'd abandoned his family. Everyone had stopped calling long ago, pushed away by Forrest's negativity, and he'd been too self-absorbed to care. Just noticing these things was a success in itself, Forrest reminded himself. He was making progress. Next, he decided to give up blaming and complaining. Not an easy task. It had become so habitual that Forrest didn't even realize he was doing it. So he asked the people around him to help him become aware when he slipped back into his old ways. In fact, his wife and therapists had a sign. If Forrest began to blame or complain, they let him know by pulling on their ear. When he saw that, he'd stop whatever he was saying in mid-sentence, take a deep breath, and consider his next words more carefully. Not that speaking, positively or negatively, was easy for him. Forrest still hadn't fully regained his speech faculties, and sometimes he was unable to find the words he needed, or he stuttered. Because of this, he didn't want to go to the grocery store or post office in case he ran into someone he knew. To counter this, he focused on Principle 22. Practice persistence. Each day he read the success principles for 20 minutes and practiced stepping out of his comfort zone. Day after day, he practiced a little more and went a little further. One of his steps out of his comfort zone took him to a local coffee shop. For years, Forrest had put his head down and walked past the coffee shop, keeping his eyes glued to the cement. But this day, he walked in, reminding himself of Principle 15. Experience your fear and take action anyway. Unfortunately, he was met right away by his worst fear. An old acquaintance recognized him and called out. Although he was cringing with embarrassment inside, Forrest stayed calm and walked over and sat down. He explained as best he could what had been happening. He was amazed to find it actually felt good to stand up for himself. In the coming days, Forrest tried this with others, and with time, talking got easier. He discovered there were people around him who were willing to support him, especially now that Forrest was willing to support himself. He also saw that he wasn't alone in dealing with life's fears and challenges. Everyone he talked to seemed to have struggles and pain of their own. This insight helped him to overcome the shame he'd been carrying for so long. As time passed, he could hardly believe the new successes he was having. Within a year of applying the principles, Forrest was doing all of the things the doctors had said he'd never do again. He returned to school. He got off all medications, both for pain and depression. He started volunteering. He started turning every negative into a positive. And he's been doing that ever since. Today, it's hard to believe there was a time not that long ago that Forrest couldn't speak fluently, nor read or write very well. But he turned that around so completely that he wrote a book about his experiences. As a result, he gets almost daily requests to share his story in front of audiences. And while he never would have believed it possible during the dark days, today he loves public speaking and believes he's found the work he was meant to do. He's thrilled to travel and speak to groups around the world. Reading the success principles also shifted Forrest's thinking about success in general. Before the accident, success, to him, meant more money and more things. A bigger house, a bigger boat, opening more businesses, owning more stuff. After the accident, he'd given up on ever attaining any success, however you define it. Today, thanks to the success principles, he's learned the profound truth that having all the stuff in the world doesn't mean anything if you're not truly living, which Forrest now knows means giving and receiving love. If currency were counted in friends and love, Forrest would be the richest man in the world. While Forrest Willett used the success principles to define and achieve success for himself, how you define success is solely in your power. For you, success might be a substantial income, effortless financial reward, and the luxuries of a high net worth lifestyle. It may be professional recognition or achievement in your hobby or philanthropic endeavors. It may be healthy, happy, and engaged children, or a family life that provides day after day enjoyment and bliss. Or it may be entrance into the world stage for a project or subject matter you are passionate about. Whatever your definition of success, rest assured that you can hold in your hands the roadmap to achieving it. Even when you're skeptical, the principles always work. One of my favorite stories over the last 10 years is from a reader in the Philippines who at first was skeptical, but who committed to applying the principles anyway for just 1 year. On the last stop of a 6-city Asian tour conducting success principles workshops, a young man named John Kalub approached me at a book signing in Manila's largest shopping mall. He was writing a newspaper column about successful people for the biggest newspaper in the Philippines and asked me for an interview. At the end of a very engaging hour, I told him that he was a great interviewer and asked how long he had been doing it. With a sense of pride, he replied that I was his very first interviewee. He went on to say that, up until recently, he and two partners had owned and operated three successful restaurants, but that bickering between the partners had eventually led to the failure of the business. John was now homeless, broke, and sleeping on couches in his friends' apartments. He had taken public transportation to the book signing because he no longer owned a car. And all the money he had in the world was the $3 cash left in his pocket. When I heard this, and because I liked John, I bought him a copy of The Success Principles from the bookstore and offered him a free seat in the next day's workshop. Giving him $20 to buy some food, I extracted a promise that if he liked it, he would write a feature article about the workshop. 2.5 years later, I returned to Manila to conduct another workshop. As I was getting ready to begin, I noticed a well-dressed man in a blue blazer and gold Doc Marten shoes, followed by an entourage of 10 people, all wearing the same polo shirt with a bright logo on it. I was curious, so I walked over to the group and, to my surprise and delight, the man in the blue blazer was John Kaloub. He told me that he had become one of the most successful businessmen in Manila. When John related the story of how he'd accomplished his success, I was so moved that I asked John to share it, in his own words. Sitting in the seminar with my arms crossed tightly across my chest, I listened carefully as Jack Canfield described his principles for success. At first, I was very skeptical. He had crazy ideas, like cutting out pictures, pasting them on a board and looking at it every day, then feeling as though you already had what you wanted. My rational mind said, "What a joke! Like looking at some pictures is going to help me get what I want?" At one point, Jack even talked about Dr. Masaru Emoto's famous experiment with water crystals and showed pictures of how water can be affected by thoughts, words, and feelings. Though I was intrigued, I still wasn't convinced. With my mind full of doubts and questions, I returned home from the seminar and thought more about what Jack had shared. It soon dawned on me. Jack was a very, very successful guy who had used these principles. And here I was, totally broke. Who would you listen to? I asked myself. Besides, I had lost everything. I had nothing else to lose. I decided to read the book he had given me and diligently follow the principles for 1 year. Every week I worked with a different principle. I began using visualization and even created one of those crazy dream boards I'd been so skeptical about. The first image I cut out was a picture of a BMW, my dream car. At the time, I was so far away from affording any car, let alone a BMW. To get around, I walked or rode in a jeepney, a very crowded mode of public transportation in the Philippines. Soon, however, I used the principle to turn my doubt into trust. It worked. And within a year, I bought my first BMW. Another principle I discovered was Principle 2. Be clear why you're here. When I was younger, I bounced from job to job, just to make a living and pay my bills. Then, during the seminar, Jack led us through an exercise to identify our deepest passion. I not only realized I have a love for teaching, but I began to identify it as my true gift and purpose. To begin taking action on this purpose, I created a breakthrough goal at the seminar to become the Philippines' leading success coach. I launched a series of seminars, teaching the principles I had learned from Jack. I started coaching and began consulting for different companies. My income quickly rose, and soon I was earning over 1,000,000 pesos, which in the Philippines is a lot of money. Next, I combined my interest in travel with my passion for teaching and began conducting seminars around the world. Today, my training company is the biggest profit center of all the companies I own. Before, I hadn't been doing what I loved, so my success was hit or miss. Now, I'm so enthusiastic about teaching these principles that people flock to see me. I've even earned 7 figures in 1 day. Jack has helped me see that you really can have it all. My first vision board was created in 2006, and since then I've achieved more than 70% of what I set out to do, Because of the success principles, I'm the highest-paid motivational speaker in the country, and I'm well on my way to becoming the Philippines' number one success coach. If I can go from broke to becoming a star in my field just by living these principles, anyone can. I've also seen the results in the lives of my clients as thousands of my countrymen have achieved their dreams. Many were living a hand-to-mouth existence, but are now on their way to becoming multimillionaires. We are all living proof that the principles always work. If you always work the principles. John Kalub experienced the power of the success principles, and you too will see changes in your life when you apply these classic principles along with the new insights contained in this 10th anniversary edition. I salute you. I congratulate you. I welcome you on this journey. To your success, Jack Canfield. Introduction. If a man, for whatever reason, has the opportunity to lead an extraordinary life, he has no right to keep it to himself. Jacques-Yves Cousteau, legendary underwater explorer and filmmaker. If a man writes a book, let him set down only what he knows. I have guesses enough of my own. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, German poet, novelist, playwright, and philosopher. This is not a book of good ideas. This is a book of timeless principles used by successful men and women throughout history. I have studied these success principles for over 30 years and have applied them to my own life. The phenomenal level of success that I now enjoy is the result of applying these principles day in and day out since I began to learn them in 1968. My success includes being the author and editor of more than 200 books, including 60 New York Times bestsellers, with over 500 million copies in print in 50 languages around the world, holding a Guinness Book World Record for having 7 books on the May 24, 1998 New York Times bestseller list, earning a multi-million dollar net income every year for the past 20 years, living in a beautiful California estate, appearing on every major talk show in America, from Oprah and Montel to Larry King Live and Good Morning America, having a weekly newspaper column read by millions every week, commanding speaking fees of $25,000 to $60,000 a talk, speaking to Fortune 500 companies all over the world, being the recipient of numerous professional and civic awards, having an outrageous relationship with my amazing wife and wonderful children, and having achieved a steady state of wellness, balance, happiness, and inner peace. I get to socialize with CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, movie, television, and recording stars, celebrated authors, and the world's finest spiritual teachers and leaders. I have spoken to members of Congress, professional athletes, corporate managers, and sales superstars in many of the best resorts and retreat centers in the world, from the Four Seasons Resort in the British West Indies to the finest hotels in Acapulco and Cancun. I enjoy skiing in Idaho, California, and Utah, go river rafting in Colorado, and hike in the mountains of California and Washington. Plus, I get to vacation in the world's finest resorts in Hawaii, Australia, Thailand, Morocco, France, Bali, and Italy. All in all, life is a real kick. Yet, like most of you reading this book, my life started out in a very average way. I grew up in Wheeling, West Virginia, where my dad worked in a florist's shop, making $8,000 a year. My mother was an alcoholic, and my father was a workaholic. I worked during the summers to make ends meet, as a lifeguard at a pool, and at the same florist shop as my father. I went to college on a scholarship, and worked serving breakfast in one of the dorms to pay for books, clothes, and dates. Nobody handed me anything on a silver platter. During my last year of graduate school, I had a part-time teaching job that paid me $120 every 2 weeks. My rent was $79 a month, so that left $161 to cover all my other expenses. Toward the end of the month, I ate what became known as my 21-cent dinners, a 10-cent can of tomato paste, garlic salt, and water, over an 11-cent bag of spaghetti noodles. I know what it is like to be scraping by on the bottom rungs of the economic ladder. After graduate school, I started my career as a high school history teacher in an all-black school on the south side of Chicago. And then I met my mentor, W. Clement Stone. Stone was a self-made multimillionaire who hired me to work at his foundation, where he trained me in the fundamental success principles that I still operate from today. My job was to teach these same principles to others. Over the years, I have gone on from my time with Mr. Stone to interview hundreds of successful people, Olympic and professional athletes, celebrated entertainers, best-selling authors, business leaders, political leaders, successful entrepreneurs, and top salespeople. I have read literally thousands of books, attended hundreds of seminars, and listened to thousands of hours of audio programs to uncover the universal principles for creating success and happiness. I then applied those principles to my own life. The ones that worked are the principles I have taught in my speeches, seminars, and workshops to well over 2 million people in all 50 U.S. states and in 36 countries around the world. These principles and techniques have not only worked for me, but they have also helped hundreds of thousands of my students achieve breakthrough success in their careers, greater wealth in their finances, greater aliveness and joy in their relationships, and greater happiness and fulfillment in their lives. My students have started successful businesses, become self-made millionaires, achieved athletic stardom, received lucrative recording contracts, starred in movie and television roles, won political offices, had huge impact in their communities, written best-selling books, been named Teacher of the Year in their school districts, broken all sales records in their companies, written award-winning screenplays, become presidents of their corporations, been recognized for their outstanding philanthropic contributions, created highly successful relationships, and raised unusually happy and successful children. The principles always work if you always work the principles. All of these same results are possible for you. I know for a fact that you too can attain unimagined levels of success. Why? Because the principles and techniques always work. All you have to do is put them to work for you. A few days before I wrote this book, I was interviewed on a television show in Dallas, Texas. I had made the claim that if people would use the principles I was teaching, I could double their income and double their time off in less than 2 years. The woman interviewing me was highly skeptical. I gave her a copy of one of my audio programs and told her that if she used the principles and techniques for 2 years and she didn't double her income and double her time off, I would come back on her show and write her a check for $1,000. If they did work, she had to ask me back and tell her viewers the principles had worked. A short 9 months later, I ran into her at the National Speakers Association convention in Orlando, Florida. She told me that not only had she already doubled her income, but she had also moved to a bigger station with a substantial pay increase. It started a public speaking career, and had already finished and sold a book, all in just 9 months. The fact is that anyone can consistently produce these kinds of results on a regular basis. All you have to do is decide what you want, believe you deserve it, and practice the success principles in this book. The fundamentals are the same for all people and all professions, even if you're currently unemployed. It doesn't matter if your goals are to be the top salesperson in your company, get straight A's in school, lose weight, buy your dream home, or become a world-class professional athlete, rock star, award-winning journalist, multimillionaire, or successful entrepreneur. The principles and strategies are the same. And if you learn them, assimilate them, and apply them with discipline every day, they will transform your life beyond your wildest dreams. You can't hire someone else to do your push-ups for you. As motivational philosopher Jim Rohn so aptly put it, you can't hire someone else to do your push-ups for you. You must do them yourself if you are to get any value out of them. Whether it is exercising, meditating, reading, studying, learning a new language, creating a mastermind group, setting measurable goals, visualizing success, repeating affirmations, or practicing a new skill, you are going to have to do it. No one else can do these things for you. I will give you the roadmap, but you will have to drive the car. I will teach you the principles, but you will have to apply them. If you choose to put in the effort, I promise you the rewards will be well worth it. How this book is structured. To help you quickly learn these powerful principles, I have organized this book into 6 sections. Part 1, The Fundamentals of Success, consists of 25 chapters that contain the absolute basics you must do to get from where you are to where you want to be. You'll start by exploring the critical importance of taking 100% responsibility for your life and your results. From there, you'll learn how to clarify your life purpose, your vision for your ideal life, and what you truly want to achieve. Next, we'll look at how to create an unshakable belief in yourself and your dreams. Then I'll help you turn your vision into a set of concrete goals and an action plan for achieving them. I'll also teach you how to harness the incredible power of affirmations and visualization, 2 of the greatest success secrets of all Olympic athletes, top entrepreneurs, world leaders, and high achievers. The next few chapters have to do with taking those necessary but sometimes scary action steps that are required to make your dreams come true. Part 2, Transform Yourself for Success, addresses the important inner work you'll need to do, work that'll help you remove any mental and emotional blocks you may have to success. It's not enough to know what to do. You also need to understand the methodology for removing self-defeating beliefs, fears, and habits that are holding you back. Like driving your car with the emergency brake on, these blocks can significantly slow your progress. You must learn how to release the brakes, or you will always experience life as a struggle and fall short of your intended goals. Part 3, Build Your Success Team, reveals how to build different kinds of support teams so you can spend your time focusing exclusively on your core genius. You will also learn how to redefine time, utilize the benefits of a personal coach, and access your own inner wisdom, an untapped but ultra-rich resource. In Part 4, Create Successful Relationships, I'll teach you a number of principles, as well as some very practical techniques, for building and maintaining successful relationships. In this day of strategic alliances and power networks, it's literally impossible to build large-scale, long-lasting success without world-class relationship skills, including in social media. Next, because so many people equate success with money, and because money is vital to our survival and the quality of our life, Part 5 is entitled Success and Money. I'll teach you how to develop a more positive money consciousness, how to ensure that you have plenty of money to live the lifestyle you want, both now and after you retire, and the importance of tithing and service in guaranteeing your financial success. Finally, in Part 6, because technology is so important today, I've honed down the most important principles that successful people follow in Success in the Digital Age. A look at how to master only the technology you need, how to brand yourself and develop a unique voice online, how to use social media to connect and develop valuable relationships, and how to use crowdfunding, crowdsourcing, and other internet-based strategies to find the people and resources that can help you reach your most important goals. How to read this book. Everyone learns differently, and you probably know how you learn best. And though there are many ways that you can read this book, I'd like to make a few suggestions that previous readers have found helpful. You may want to read this book through once, just to get a feel for the total process, before you start the work of creating the life you truly seek. The principles are presented in an order that builds one upon the other. They are like the numbers in a combination lock. You need all the numbers, and you need them in the right order. It doesn't matter what color, race, gender, or age you are. If you know the combination, the lock has to open for you. As you are reading, I strongly encourage you to underline and highlight everything that feels important to you. Make notes in the margin about the things you'll put into action. Then review those notes in highlighted sections again and again. Repetition is the key to real learning. Every time you reread portions of this book, You'll literally remind yourself of what you need to do to get from where you are to where you want to be. As you'll discover, it takes repetitive exposure over time to a new idea before that idea becomes a natural part of your way of thinking and being. You may also discover that you're already familiar with some of the principles here. That's great. But ask yourself, am I currently practicing them? If not, make a commitment to put them into action now. Remember, the principles only work if you work the principles. The second time you read through this book, you'll want to read one chapter at a time, then take whatever time necessary to put into practice that principle and the techniques that accompany it. If you're already doing some of these things, keep doing them. If not, start now. Like many of my past students and clients, you too may find yourself resisting taking some of the suggested action steps. But my experience has shown that the ones you most resist are the ones you most need to embrace. Remember, reading this book is not the same as doing the homework, any more than reading a book on weight loss is the same as actually eliminating certain foods, eating fewer calories, and exercising more. You might find it useful to connect with one or two other people who would like to join you as accountability partners, see page 408, and ensure that each of you actually implements what you learn. True learning only occurs when you assimilate and apply the new information, where there is a change in your behavior. A warning. Of course, any change requires sustained effort to overcome years' worth of internal and external resistance. Initially, you may find yourself getting very excited about all this new information. You may feel a newfound sense of hope and enthusiasm for the new vision of your life as it can be. This is good. But be forewarned that you may also begin to experience other feelings as well. You may feel frustration at not knowing about all of this earlier, anger at your parents and teachers for not teaching you these important concepts at home and at school, or anger at yourself for having already learned many of these things and not having acted on them. Just take a deep breath and realize that this is all part of the process of your journey. Everything in the past has actually been perfect. Everything in your past has led you to this transformative moment in time. Everyone, including you, has always done the best they could with what they knew at the time. Now, you are about to know more. Celebrate your new awareness. It is about to set you free. You may also find that there will be times when you wonder, why isn't all of this working faster? Why haven't I already achieved my goal? Why aren't I rich already? Why don't I have the man or woman in my dreams by now? When am I going to achieve my ideal weight? Success takes time, effort, perseverance, and patience. If you apply all of the principles and techniques covered in this book, you will achieve your goals. You will realize your dreams. But it won't happen overnight. Finally, it's natural in the pursuit of any goal to come upon obstacles, to feel temporarily stuck on a plateau. This is normal. Anyone who has ever played a musical instrument, participated in a sport, or practiced a martial art knows that you hit plateaus where it seems as though you're making no progress whatsoever. That's when the uninitiated often quit, give up, drop out, or take up another instrument or sport. But the wise have discovered if they just keep practicing their instrument, sport, or martial art, or in your case, the success principles in this book, eventually they make what feels like a sudden leap to a higher level of proficiency. Be patient. Hang in there. Don't give up. You will break through. I promise you, the principles always work. Okay, let's get started. It's time to start living the life you've imagined. Henry James, American-born author of 20 novels, 112 stories, and 12 plays. Part 1. The Fundamentals of Success. Learn the fundamentals of the game and stick to them. Band-aid remedies never last. Jack Nicklaus, legendary professional golfer. Principle 1. Take 100% responsibility for your life. You must take personal responsibility. You cannot change the circumstances, the seasons, or the wind. but you can change yourself. Jim Rohn, America's foremost business philosopher. One of the most pervasive myths in the American culture today is that we are entitled to a great life, that somehow, somewhere, someone, certainly not us, is responsible for filling our lives with continual happiness, exciting career options, nurturing family time, and blissful personal relationships simply because we exist. But the real truth, and the one lesson this whole book is based on, is that there is only one person responsible for the quality of life you live. That person is you. If you want to be successful, you have to take 100% responsibility for everything that you experience in your life. This includes the level of your achievements, the results you produce, the quality of your relationships, the state of your health and physical fitness, your income, your debts, your feelings, everything. This is not easy. In fact, most of us have been conditioned to blame something outside of ourselves for the parts of our life we don't like. We blame our parents, our bosses, our friends, our coworkers, our spouse, the weather, the economy, the government, our astrological chart, our lack of money, anyone or anything we can pin the blame on. We never want to look at where the real problem is. Ourselves. There is a wonderful story told about a man who is out walking one night and comes upon another man down on his knees looking for something under a street lamp. The passerby inquires as to what the other man is looking for. He answers that he is looking for his lost key. The passerby offers to help and gets down on his knees and helps him search for the key. After an hour of fruitless searching, he says, "We've looked everywhere for it and we haven't found it. Are you sure that you lost it here?" The other man replies, "No, I lost it in my house, but there is more light out here under the street lamp." It is time to stop looking outside yourself for the answers to why you haven't created the life and results you want. For it is you who creates the quality of the life you lead and the results you produce. You. No one else. To achieve major success in life, to achieve those things that are most important to you, you must assume 100% responsibility for your life. Nothing less will do. 100% responsibility for everything. As I mentioned in the introduction, when I was only 1 year out of graduate school, I had the good fortune to work for W. Clement Stone. He was a self-made multimillionaire worth $600 million at the time. Stone was also America's premier success guru. He was the publisher of Success Magazine, author of The Success System That Never Fails, and co-author with Napoleon Hill of Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude. When I was completing my first week's orientation, Mr. Stone asked me if I took 100% responsibility for my life. "I think so," I responded. "This is a yes or no question, young man. You either do or you don't." "Well, I guess I'm not sure." "Have you ever blamed anyone for any circumstance in your life? Have you ever complained about anything?" Yeah, I guess I have." "Don't guess. Think." "Yes, I have." "Okay, then. That means you don't take 100% responsibility for your life. Taking 100% responsibility means you acknowledge that you create everything that happens to you. It means you understand that you are the cause of all of your experience. If you want to be really successful, and I know you do, then you will have to give up blaming and complaining and take total responsibility for your life. That means all your results, both your successes and your failures. That is the prerequisite for creating a life of success. It is only by acknowledging that you have created everything up until now that you take charge of creating the future you want. You see, Jack, if you realize that you have created your current conditions, then you can uncreate them and recreate them at will. Do you understand that?" "Yes, sir, I do." "Are you willing to take 100% responsibility for your life?" "Yes, sir, I am." And I did. You have to give up all your excuses. 99% of all failures come from people who have a habit of making excuses. George Washington Carver, chemist who discovered over 325 uses for the peanut. If you want to create the life of your dreams, then you are going to have to take 100% responsibility for your life as well. That means giving up all your excuses, all your victim stories, all the reasons why you can't and why you haven't up until now, and all your blaming of outside circumstances. You have to give them all up forever. You have to take the position that you have always had the power to make it different, to get it right, to produce the desired result. For whatever reason, ignorance, lack of awareness, fear, needing to be right, the need to feel safe, you chose not to exercise that power. Who knows why? It doesn't matter. The past is the past. All that matters now is that from this point forward you choose. That's right. It's a choice. To act as if you are 100% responsible for everything that does or doesn't happen to you. If something doesn't turn out as planned, you will ask yourself, how did I create that? What was I thinking? What were my beliefs? What did I say or not say? What did I do or not do to create that result? How did I get the other person to act that way? What do I need to do differently next time to get the result I want? A few years after I met Mr. Stone, Dr. Robert Resnick, a psychotherapist in Los Angeles, taught me a very simple but very important formula that made this idea of 100% responsibility even clearer to me. The formula is E plus R equals O. Event plus response equals outcome. The basic idea is that every outcome you experience in life, whether it is success or failure, wealth or poverty, health or illness, intimacy or estrangement, joy or frustration, is the result of how you have responded to an earlier event or events in your life. If you don't like the outcomes you are currently getting, there are two basic choices you can make. One, you can blame the event, E, for your lack of results, O. In other words, you can blame the economy, the weather, the lack of money, your lack of education, racism, gender bias, the current administration in Washington, your parents, your wife or husband, your boss's attitude, your employees, the system or lack of systems, and so on. If you're a golfer, you've probably even blamed your clubs and the course you've played on. No doubt all these factors do exist, but if they were the deciding factor, nobody would ever succeed. Jackie Robinson would never have played Major League Baseball. Barack Obama would never have become President of the United States. Sidney Poitier and Denzel Washington would never have become movie stars. Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer would never have become U.S. Senators. Bill Gates would never have founded Microsoft. And Steve Jobs would never have started Apple Computers. For every reason why it's not possible, there are hundreds of people who have faced the same circumstances and succeeded. Lots of people overcome these so-called limiting factors, so it can't be the limiting factors that limit you. It is not the external conditions and circumstances that stop you. It is you. We stop ourselves. We think limiting thoughts and engage in self-defeating behaviors. We defend our self-destructive habits, such as drinking, smoking, and not getting enough sleep, with indefensible logic. We ignore useful feedback, fail to continuously educate ourselves and learn new skills, waste time on the trivial aspects of our lives, engage in idle gossip, eat unhealthy food, fail to exercise, spend more money than we make, fail to invest in our future, avoid necessary conflict, fail to tell the uncomfortable truth, don't ask for what we want, and then wonder why our lives don't work. 2. You can instead simply change your responses, R, to the events, E, the way things are, until you get the outcomes, O, you want. You can change your thinking, change your communication, change the pictures you hold in your head, your images of yourself and the world, and change your behavior, the things you do. That is all you really have any control over anyway. Unfortunately, most of us are so run by our habits that we never change our behavior. We get stuck in our conditioned responses to our spouses and our children, to our colleagues at work, to our customers and our clients, to our students, and to the world at large. We are a bundle of conditioned reflexes that operate outside of our control. You have to regain control of your thoughts, your images, your dreams and daydreams, and your behavior. Everything you think, say, and do needs to become intentional and aligned with your purpose, your values, and your goals. If you don't like your outcomes, change your responses. Let's look at some examples of how this works. I remember living in Los Angeles during a terrible earthquake. 2 days later, I watched as a CNN reporter interviewed people commuting to work. The earthquake had damaged one of the main freeways leading into the city. Traffic was at a standstill, and what was normally a one-hour drive had become a 2 or 3 hour drive. The CNN reporter knocked on the window of one of the cars stuck in traffic and asked the driver how he was doing. He responded angrily, "I hate California. First there were fires, then floods, and now an earthquake. No matter what time I leave in the morning, I'm going to be late for work. This sucks." Then the reporter knocked on the window of the car behind him and asked the second driver the same question. This driver was all smiles. He replied, "It's no problem. I left my house at 5 a.m. I don't think under the circumstances my boss can ask for more than that. I have lots of music and my Spanish language lessons with me. I've got my cell phone. I have coffee and a thermos. My lunch? I even brought a book to read. So I'm fine." Now, if the earthquake or the traffic, the event, were really the deciding variables, then everyone should have been angry. But everyone wasn't. It was their individual response to the traffic that gave them their particular outcome. It was thinking negative thoughts or thinking positive thoughts, leaving the house prepared or leaving the house unprepared that made the difference. It was all a matter of attitude and behavior that created their completely different experiences. "I've heard there's going to be a recession. I've decided not to participate." A friend of mine owns a Lexus dealership in Southern California. When war in the Middle East broke out, people stopped coming in to buy Lexuses. My friend and his sales team knew that if they didn't change their response, R, to the event, E, of nobody coming into the showroom, they were going to slowly go out of business. Their normal response, R, would have been to continue placing ads in the newspaper and on the radio, then wait for people to come into the dealership. But that wasn't working. The outcome, O, they were getting was a steady decrease in sales. So they tried a number of new things. The one that worked was driving a fleet of new cars out to where the rich people were, the country clubs, marinas, polo grounds, parties in Beverly Hills, Westlake Village, and Lake Sherwood, and then inviting them to take a spin in a new Lexus. Now, think about this. Have you ever test-driven a new car and then got back into your old car? Remember that feeling of dissatisfaction you felt as you compared your old car to the new car you had just driven? Your old car was fine up until then, but suddenly you knew there was something better, and you wanted it. The same thing happened with these folks. After test driving the new car, a high percentage of the people bought or leased a new Lexus. The dealership had changed their response, R, to an unexpected event, E, the war, until they got the outcome, O, increased sales that they wanted. They actually ended up selling more cars per week than before the war broke out. Everything you experience today is the result of choices you have made in the past. Everything you experience in life, both internally and externally, is the result of how you have responded to a previous event. Event. You are given a $400 bonus. Response. You spend it on a night on the town with friends. Outcome. You are broke. Event. You are given a $400 bonus. Response. You invest it in your mutual fund. Outcome. You have an increased net worth. You have control over only three things in your life: the thoughts you think, the images you visualize, and the actions you take, your behavior. How you use these three things determines everything you experience. If you don't like what you are producing and experiencing, you have to change your responses. Change your negative thoughts to positive ones. Change what you daydream about. Change your habits. Change what you read. Change your friends. Change how you talk to yourself and others. If you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll keep on getting what you've always got. 12-step programs such as Alcoholics Anonymous define insanity as continuing the same behavior and expecting a different result. It ain't gonna happen. If you're an alcoholic and you keep on drinking, your life is not going to get any better.